Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another Wednesday night. Welcome to the Voice of Indie podcast, show number 64. Creeping closer to 70, and then after that, it's 100. Well, actually, it's 80, then 90, then 100, but you know what I mean. How is everybody doing tonight? Hopefully, everybody's having a good time. I'm your host, Beam Weeks, and with me is Mr. Stephen Gies. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You just kind of cut in and out a little bit, so keep an eye on that.
All right.
Beautiful time of the year down here in the South. October, November is when it starts to get down into the 70s during the day, which is beautiful. And either tonight or tomorrow night's the full moon. And the full moon rises across the lake from me when it comes up. And it just lights up the whole lake, lights up the area. I mean, when it reflects off the lake at the right angle, it lights things up so much that I could walk out there at 3 o'clock in the morning and see somebody standing 2 miles away on the other side of the lake. It's that light, and it's just beautiful. And then when the sun comes up, I'm facing the east, so the sun comes up behind all the mist that rises off the lake, and it just sets it on fire, sparkles and glows, and it's just beautiful. So I always note the calendar when it's full moon time and try to get out there and have a look.
Right.
And how is it in Michigan?
It's turning fall, but we had 72 degrees today, sunny. Pretty warm yesterday, sunshine. I mowed the lawn, hopefully, for the last time this season, but I still have to crunch up the leaves, which is coming soon. But listeners, if you want to participate in tonight's show, you want to give us a call, or if you want to do the hashtag thing on Twitter, here's how you do it.
Call 516-453-9902 right now and join us on air or tweet us with the hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body and we'll read your comment or question live. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group.
All right. Now listen, everybody. Hello, Chattanooga. You know, we've been talking about this book for a while now on this program. That is out now, but the hardcover is going up $5. So order now and check the interview. The link is in the newsletter. David Carroll, he was on the show, about a month and a half ago or so, something like that.
That's a different interview. And the interview in the newsletter is a link to an interview that was done with the local TV station. It's about an hour and a half long. It's a thorough interview. Plus, we had him on our podcast.
Yeah, see, I didn't get that part. So, all right, the link is there in the newsletter, so go check it out. And I will have to check that out since I didn't get a chance to check out the newsletter this morning.
Now, Legacy of Danger, which is a novel by somebody named Patricia A. Guthrie. I'm not quite sure who she is, but maybe we'll find out by the end of the podcast today. That novel is now out in pre-sale, and it is available for a Halloween release. So if you get over there right now, and I'll wait, go ahead, go order it, and it'll be shipped on Halloween for you if you order a print one, or if you order an ebook, it'll be released at around midnight, the night before Halloween. So get out there and order your copy of Legacy of Danger now.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What's what? All right. Girl Wears Those Shoes. It's a new novel by Jenny Wong. The editing is done. It's in the layout stage right now, and cover design is being worked up. And she's got a website that's being built as well. So keep an ear out for that and an eye out for that. She's a new author, so she's going to need your support and as she's building up her author brand. And like I said, keep an eye out for that. You can find that out in the newsletter. through all the various Fresh Ink Group Twitter accounts. So hopefully shortly.
Now, I've got two more announcements before we learn about the archives and meet today's guest. The first one is the first novel that I ever wrote 26 years ago was called Dance of the Lights. And it's been out there for sale ever since. It's fairly popular, never been a bestseller. But in all these 26 years, it has never had a book trailer. And as many book trailers as you've made, you'd think that we'd have made them for all of my books, too. But I've got handful of books. We've never made trailers for at least a half a dozen of my books. So we finally got around to it. We made a trailer for Dance of the Lights. And it's in today's newsletter, or you can catch it over on YouTube. Go to the Fresh Ink Group channel. Make sure you subscribe while you're there. And check out the new trailer for Dance of the Lights by Stephen Gies. We're kind of proud of that trailer. Go ahead.
Let me just inject this here. We are working to correct that for all of his books, Mr. Gies' books, to get book trailers out. We're very busy. So as we get a little free time, guess what we're doing? We're making those videos. So
definitely. So, yeah, go check it out.
If you miss a show, find us in the archives in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, on Spotify, or under the podcast tab at freshinkgroup.com, beamweeks.com, and stephengies.com. On YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe.
All right. Now, I warned you I had two announcements, and you jumped on me there. The second one is we have some sad news to report. We got word yesterday that the subject of Karen Ingalls' book, Learning About Autism, Carol Tucker, she passed away yesterday morning. She was surrounded with her family, and Karen luckily happened to be there. She opened her eyes and asked Karen, why are you here? And she told her, and they had a chance to have a couple of moments there, and then it wasn't too much longer that Carol was gone. So our sympathies from all of us here at Fresh Ink Group to Carol, her family, and her friends, and to Karen Ingalls. And we want to tell you that Carol did some great things. She was a good woman. She put her heart out there. She raised two special needs boys with her husband, and she helped found a school, a charter school for autism, and did a lot of other things in the community. So let's keep her in our thoughts. Let's honor her. And if you're interested at all in learning about Carol's story, get out there and check out that book. That's Learning About Autism by Karen Ingalls.
Yeah, you can go to the archive as well and replay that episode she was on here just a couple of months ago. That's just some sad news. But here's some good news. We've got a guest tonight. Patricia A. Guthrie is the author of romantic suspense novels, mysteries, short stories, and nonfiction articles. Her published works include In the Arms of the Enemy, Water Lilies Over My Grave, and Willed Accidents Happen. She offers short stories on Amazon.com, in Skyline Magazine, and Affaire de Coeur, hope I said that right, as well as nonfiction articles in the Kali Cassette and the online Nature Journal. An accomplished musician and singer, Patricia has appeared in opera companies in Europe and in the United States and performed as a church soloist and taught music. An avid animal lover, she owns a horse, two black cats, and as many as four collies. Pat's shown horses in quarter horse and local horse shows, and collies in obedience classes at dog shows. You'll find many of her experiences in her books. And with that, welcome to the show, Pat. We are so glad to have you here.
Thank you. So glad. I'm so glad to be here.
Hi, Patricia.
Love my bio. Hi, how are you? How's everybody doing?
We're doing
great. So, Patricia, to start off with, where are you from? Tell everybody where you're from.
Oh, sure. I live right now in Park Forest, Illinois, but I'm moving to Tinley Park, Illinois, in about 2 weeks, and moving is such fun. Not fun at all. I grew up in Lynbrook, Long Island, in New York, and my family moved out to Smithtown, Long Island, and also in New York. I went to college at Manhattan School of Music with a Bachelor of Music of Music and Voice and a Master of Music and Voice and Opera Theater. So that led me into my careers as an opera singer, church soloist, teacher, and then eventually morphing into a writer, also sales manager at one time. And I also packed salamis in Munich at one time. That was lots of fun. My boss was darling. He was so cute. He took me out to a Greek restaurant after it was over.
And what's your Greek food that you order?
I have no idea. It was so long ago. I have no idea what I ordered.
You haven't been back?
Oh, well, about a year or two later, I went back and I sang a recording. I recorded with a group in Vienna. Stayed at a palace, as a matter of fact, a hotel
Ooh.
Palace in
Ooh.
Vienna near St. Stephen's Cathedral. It was very interesting, very.
Wow.
But I haven't been back after that, no. No, a lot of things kind of interfered with my professional career.
Now we have a few comments over on Twitter, Beam.
Okay. I was going to say, now, Vienna, that's the home of the Vienna Boys Choir. Did you happen to run into any of those guys? I know they raise a lot of hell and trash hotel rooms and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. My interest at that time, though, was more for the Lipizzaner horses.
Lipizzaner stallions.
The Lipizzaner horses, and it was just gorgeous. But, yeah, I did hear the Vienna Boys Choir, and I've also heard them when they were in the United States, too, but I don't remember where. I think it was Chicago.
Okay. Okay, so the over here on Twitter, as Stephen said, Robert G. Williscroft, he said it was 52 in Denver today. Wow. That's kind of cold for this time of the year, for this part.
I think it hit 71 here in Chicago.
Wow.
It was like 71 degrees.
Verwayne Greenhoe wins the award. He says, we had a high of 43 here in the Upper Peninsula with a stiff wind off Mama Superior. Brr.
Yeah. It's always cold up there. Dr. Helen Burrell, she's given a shout-out to our guest tonight. She says, tonight is all about writer Patricia A. Guthrie. Among her many published novels and stories, it's time to read her latest creation, Legacy of Danger. See her Legacy of Danger trailer now on YouTube. Thank you, Dr. Helen, for that promo.
Yeah, definitely. Verwayne Greenhoe says that he did read about Carol Tucker this morning. My condolences to her family and friends. Thank you, Verwayne.
And
yeah,
Robert,
Robert
Williscroft said, I belonged to the Bezeler Boys Choir back in the day, Basel, Switzerland. Well, that's something new about Mr. Williscroft that we didn't know. At least I didn't
know.
Well,
you shouldn't be surprised. He's done everything, everywhere, with just about everybody.
Exactly. Wow. That's pretty interesting. Now, Patricia, I'm really interested in that you spent time in Europe. I think that's really cool. Give us some of your fond memories of being over there.
Well, I started out, my first year was in Geneva, Switzerland. I was with a company called Centre Lyrique International. I was part of their opera school. They just started this opera school there. And it was just, I had graduated from Manhattan School of Music. So it was just really exciting to be accepted there. And I did some nice roles, some nice parts, Clorinda and La Cenerentola, one of the dastardly stepsisters of Cinderella. That was such fun.
Wow.
What else did I do there?
What led you to opera?
Well, I had always been, and my family have always been very creative musically and artistically, and I had a voice. My father had a voice. My mother had a voice. Everybody had a voice. And I just was so enamored of opera. I loved it. From the time I was like a toddler, I loved it.
Wow.
So that's all I ever really wanted to do was be an opera singer.
Hmm. That's interesting for that young of an age. Now,
yeah, definitely.
I watch America's Got Talent, and over the years they've had two young girls. One is 10 and one I believe is 8. And they're both these incredible opera singers. It's like at that age. And I remember the first one was Jackie Evancho. And
she's a marvelous talent.
And I remember seeing her the first time.
I haven't seen her around lately, but...
Yeah, she's still out there, but she's doing a lot of pop music now. But I remember seeing her on there, and I thought, she's lip-syncing. This is some kind of a setup, you know. And
she's gorgeous.
Obviously she wasn't.
Yeah, because
she was singing and... She was singing in, like, Italian, and she was singing these – I didn't know what she was saying, but they were just so beautiful, the words that she was saying. And it was – how does a 10-year-old know how to do that?
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's natural. It just comes naturally. It just does. It did with me. I was very fortunate in my career in music. I went to Manhattan School of Music. I got in on a scholarship. I got my bachelor's in voice and my master's in opera theater and voice. Had a wonderful voice teacher named Hertha Glatz, who had been at the Metropolitan herself. Just trying to think. Oh, I sang several roles there. The opera theater had three beautiful, wonderful operas every year. And I sang in quite a few of them. I sang in Thais. I sang in, the Impresario, which is Mozart's very first opera. I was Miss Silverpeel. There was Miss Gold something or other and Miss Silverpeel, and I was Miss Silverpeel.
What's your favorite opera to sing?
Do you have
a favorite?
Norina. Well, there's a couple. There was Olympia in the Tales of Hoffman, and then there's Norina in Don Pasquale were two of my favorites. I have one opera that I never did sing in, I wish I had, was Violetta in Traviata. I just love that opera. So, those are some of my favorites.
Is something like Porgy and Bess considered opera or musical?
Both, depending on
how it's presented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a musical, but it's
Gershwin.
It's Gershwin. Yeah.
I've never really been clear on where you draw the line between them because, you know, like I'll go see something like Porgy and Bess performed by a symphony orchestra, and then they'll have guest soloists out there. So you're not actually seeing acting. You're not seeing the story, but you're getting all the musical performance. So I love that one, Porgy and Bess.
I think the definition of a true opera is that the whole thing is sung, including the recitatives. You know, the spoken parts in a musical are sung in opera. And in the musicals, of course, it's more on a pop vein. I don't say pop. It's a classical form. Unto itself.
Versus
Lloyd
pop
Webber
culture,
is my
mainstream.
Favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, we've learned something new here today. Now, Beam, we need to roll a commercial here. You want to hit Chattanooga? And listeners, if you're out there thinking about calling, why don't you call in while this commercial is rolling and we can talk to you after the ad.
All right.
Hello, Chattanooga. Famous people who have visited the Tennessee Valley. Features photos, stories, and complete listings of the entertainers, athletes, political leaders, and others who visited the area since 1900. Chattanooga has attracted some of the best-known celebrities in the world, thanks to our city's historic venues, beautiful scenery, and powerful people. Hello Chattanooga features hundreds of restored photos, behind-the-scenes stories, and thousands of fully indexed entries spanning more than 700 pages. I'm David Carroll. I've worked in Chattanooga television and radio for more than 40 years. I also write a weekly newspaper column and have written two other books, Chattanooga Radio and Television, A Photo History of Chattanooga Media, and Volunteer Bama Dog, A TV Guy's Love Letter to the South, a collection of my most popular stories. Hello Chattanooga is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in a keepsake, jacketed, hardcover edition with full-color interior printing, softcover with black and white photos, and all-color ebook formats worldwide. Take a trip back in time. Enjoy great memories and maybe even settle an argument as you learn the dates and places that your favorite star, athlete, or president visited the Chattanooga area.
All right. That's a really cool book.
And a great trailer. And listen, when you go over there and look for that trailer on YouTube, check out the Volunteer Bama Dog trailer as well. We made both of those trailers for the David Carroll books.
And it's a cool book, too.
Volunteer
Bama Dog. We do have a caller. You guys want to take a call?
All right.
All right. Spinning.
Hello.
All right, here we go. Hello, caller. How you doing tonight? You're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi. My name is Suzanne Guthrie, and I am calling from Poughkeepsie, New York.
Hi.
And
welcome to the show. What a coincidence! Our guest has the same last name as you.
Not really. I'm Patricia's little sister.
All right.
And, all right. Welcome to the show.
I just learned some things about her that I didn't even know, but I would like her to talk about, I remember as a child, my sister practicing. She was a really, really good, she'd practice several hours a day, that musicians have to do that. And, but I wonder, and I always admired her discipline a lot, and I emulated it myself when I got older too. But what I would like to hear her talk about is the discipline of music and the art of it, and the discipline of writing and the art of it.
Ooh,
that's a good
similar topic. Similar yet very different.
Maybe she could talk about that, and I'll take my I'll hang up.
All right. Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks.
Unless I can hear. Can I hear on the phone?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can hear. Just stay on the line.
Okay.
Then you can react and cut back in with a comment or another question.
Yeah, I'll leave your phone open so you can interact.
Hoping we didn't lose Patricia.
You there, Patricia?
Because I haven't heard her for a minute. Patricia.
Yeah. All right. Patricia, if you can hear my voice. If you can hear my voice, Patricia, how about you hang up and call back in? I still got her number on the screen. Hang up and call back in if you can hear my voice.
So while we wait, do you have any stories about Patricia as a child that we would love to hear?
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay, she hung up, so... we'll wait for her to call back. Yeah, that's odd. It's just one of those glitches. And Blog Talk Radio is good for that. Although we've been pretty fortunate for most of the past year that we've been doing this show that we haven't had these kind of glitches. There we go.
Good.
Oh. You back there, Patricia?
I'm back.
Hi there. Right.
Hi, good. You can hear me.
Now, yeah,
man, all
hear
the
you.
Stuff your sister told us while you were gone. Oh,
oh,
we're
what
gonna write a book
you?
Now. We're gonna write a book.
So, did you catch what she had? Did you catch what she had asked?
No, I didn't hear a thing. I just hung up, redialed, and here I am.
Okay, she asked about. Well, go ahead and repeat your question.
I said that I remembered you practicing hours a day.
I remember.
Oh yeah. And what I'd like to know is that you were so focused and so disciplined. I wondered about that focus and discipline and the creativity as it translates from music into your writing. And you might say something about imagination.
Oh, I had a lot of that. Every time I went to school, I used to daydream up some short story or other, usually having, involving me and a big black stallion named Gypsy. But anyway, I can't help it. I think the difference between, there's not a lot of difference between performance and writing. And I'll tell you why, how. In performing, you are performing or putting to life another author, composer, creator's works. When you're a writer, you're creating those works. So it's not that different. I mean, it is. Of course, it's a different discipline, but you're making it up, whereas in the performance, you're creating or recreating somebody else's works.
Interpreting.
So that's the best way I can – interpreting. Yeah, interpreting. Yeah. That's a good word. Interpreting someone else's works. And that's honestly, that's the main thing I can come up with. I'm sure other people have other ideas about it, but that's it.
Does one or the other come easier to you?
Music, I think. I think music does. Well, I spent years and years and years doing that. And well, I started writing back in the 1990s, 1985 or something. I started working on a novel called Matt's Murder. And that story is hysterical because when I started writing it, somebody dared me to write it. A very good friend of mine. And we talked, Agatha Christie.
I dare you to write a novel.
So, exactly. It was just one of, like, I think Agatha Christie's cousin or sister or mother or somebody dared her to do it. So we kind of did the same thing. But when I got started, my first two chapters were totally scenic. I was explaining this and explaining that and explaining the other things, the things you're not supposed to do as an author. But it was fun and I did it. And then I did finish the novel. And what happened was I was working on an old word processor. Okay. And then I transferred everything over to a new Acer computer, which of course it was in the 90s, so it wasn't too totally new. But what I didn't know is that I did not know how to save. So I didn't. And I took it to a computer guy, and he said, I can't do anything with this. Okay. So I had to go back and rewrite the whole thing. And it was a very good thing I did, because the first one was crap. It really was not very good. But it's a lot of fun to talk about. So anyway,
yeah,
that's
the story of writers. That first thing you write is usually not really good. I mean, Stephen King, Carrie is his first published novel, but he had two that he wrote before that ended up basically in the garbage.
Yeah, well, poor Matt's Murder ended up in the garbage. Maybe I still have that old copy somewhere. But it's gone through about four or five, sort of Legacy. Legacy went four, five, six transitions. From the time I started that to the time it is now being published in October. Okay.
All right, so you're a singer. Do you play instruments?
I play the piano. Not well anymore because I haven't practiced in a long time. But, yeah, for a long time I did play the guitar because I sang in Greenwich Village when
Ooh.
I was in...
Were you a folkie?
Yeah. I was a folkie. Yes, I was.
Part of the beat crowd?
I had a good time.
Hanging out with Joan Baez and
that beat opera
oh,
crowd?
I sang a lot of Joan Baez stuff because I just loved her. I loved her.
A fantastic voice, just a beautiful voice.
Yeah, she does. She absolutely does. She's still singing.
Yeah, she does. And she still sounds good, too.
Do we still have our caller?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah,
oh,
you got any more You got any more questions for, or fun stories to tell about your sister?
Yeah, come on, Suzanne.
Well, I can always call her up on my own. I think I should let somebody else have a chance. But I think you're on a good roll, Pat.
Thank you.
Well, thanks
tell
for calling
more stories
in.
That I don't know about. So I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks
great.
For calling,
okay.
Dan, or, Suzanne.
Okay.
Bye-bye. You want to roll another one, Beam?
That kind of sounds suspicious when you say that. You
yeah.
want to roll
well,
another
you know.
One?
Yeah,
well, it's legal in Michigan now. Oh. I don't
how about
say,
how about dance?
All right.
Dance. Oh.
Frank relishes fast success and early retirement, but struggling to preserve his life's work thrusts him into a desperate battle to protect the people he cares about most. Beverly seeks a new beginning in Tarpon Springs until those she trusts steal control of her destiny, forcing a fight for her very survival. All 12-year-old Kevin wants is attention from the only man he respects. Yet murder and the wrenching indifference of a callous legal system toward one vulnerable child proves even friendship might never be enough. Riven by tragedy, consumed by grief, all three must confront the wondrous possibility that our indelible bonds may somehow transcend even death, that a cherished soul truly can find the way back. Only together might this improbable family dare embrace their own brand of unexpected love, that infinite potential to achieve more than any one person can alone. Through it all, they are teased by the mystery of those dancing lights, a million pinpoints in every imaginable color swirling to form brilliant images of extraordinary lives. Dance of the Lights by Stephen Gies is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah, go out and grab a copy. I've read that. That's an excellent novel. Mr. Gies is an excellent writer.
Well, check out that trailer and make sure you hit that like.
And subscribe while you're over there.
Yeah.
If you haven't.
So Patricia, we've heard you talk about your love of horses and in particular a stallion and your love for singing and music.
Yeah.
What is this about Agatha Christie reruns that you're into?
Oh, I just love David Suchet Poirot. I just watch it all the time. And Miss Marple, Joan Greenwood, is it? Who played Miss Marple? Wonderful, wonderful. And Midsummer Murders, and those are all my favorites. They're like cozies. I don't so much write cozies. I write more romantic suspense. And I have one novel that's paranormal, Legacy of Danger. And I have one that's a psychological drama about a woman who runs away from her psychotic ex-husband. And he follows her. And he morphs into a serial killer. That's one of Lillard's Over My Grave.
So by Agatha Christie reruns, we're talking like on TV, movies, television shows,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you belong to a club for it or anything?
No.
Just love Agatha Christie.
Collection. I just love her. I love her books. I just love her. I love her characters. Poirot is just a wonderful character, and so is Miss Marple.
Do you think some of your writing reflects the styles that you've learned from her?
I want to say probably not. Maybe a little bit.
A little bit?
I don't think so. Because I never thought of Agatha Christie when I wrote my books.
Oh, okay.
One of my books, the first one that was published, In the Arms of the Enemy, that's romantic suspense, but I think it's more mystery. And that could follow tradition. I'm not sure. It's a good question.
Now,
I'm really not
now
sure.
when I was editing Legacy of Danger, I didn't get the Agatha Christie vibe at all, so.
No,
but she had some cool stuff
in it.
It's not Agatha Christie.
What's that?
I said there was a lot of really cool, interesting stuff in there, but it just wasn't an Agatha Christie type vibe.
No, no, it was not. Not at all. It wasn't supposed to be. I wasn't thinking Agatha Christie when I wrote it.
Well, that's what I'm kind of backing up when he asked you if your writing reflects Agatha Christie, and you said no, and I can vouch for it that it's not Agatha Christie. It's,
well, I wasn't really going that far. It's just that writers have different techniques. They have different things that they do, and I was looking at the things that she picked up from that.
Yeah, Patricia Guthrie has her own vibe.
You have your own vibe. I like to think that. Yeah, it's kind of dark. I kind of have a dark vibe in there, I think.
So when you're not moving, because right now, since you're moving, we know that your schedule's all messed up and you're busy and trying to do too many things.
The people that have been following Twitter, I have not been on there for quite a while because of this, and I really apologize because I really like following everybody. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, normally when you're not busy moving, what is your writing process like? Is it something you do every day or only when you feel like it? Something in the morning? Do you try to set goals for each day? What's your process like? What's it like when Guthrie's writing?
When I decide I'm going to write a novel, the first thing I do is think about a germ of an idea, and I get that from life, from my everyday experiences or my experiences from way back when. I get it from, hang on, I wrote this down. Oh, books, documentaries, hobbies, writings. I have books on psychology, when I decide to do something, I do a lot of research for the story ideas. I'm writing one on a retirement community, and I just blanked. What am I doing? Okay. looking up things like the opioids, trafficking and stuff like that. So, when I did research Legacy of Danger, I got all the information I could on the paranormal, castles, scenery in Evanston, Illinois, because that's where the book starts, Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, because a couple chapters originate there, Romania, international drug trade, religious items like crosses and rubies, which also end up in the book. Then I go to an outline, and the first thing I do is characterizations. You know, of course, my protagonist and my antagonist, and then my secondary characters, and the other guys just kind of dwindle in and out. But that's the first thing I do is characterizations. Where did they grow up? What is their goal in life? So I work on goals, their motivations, their conflicts. Then work toward the finish, and I work on an outline. Sometimes the outline lasts about 3 chapters, and it kind of morphs into something else. Then I write the first draft, which is usually lousy, and I get beta readers to read, if I can find some. And then I go to editing, and I find a publisher and an editor. And we edit the proofs and final edits and cover and insides and copyrights, etc. By the way, I just loved the cover for Legacy of Danger. It's just gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
So, and my beta readers, I guess, are other trusted writers that I know and friends.
You want to shout out any and give them some credit?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. My friend Bert Berg was and Mary Berg were both beta readers for me. Just trying to think of others. I'm blanking now.
How about editors that you've worked with that impressed you, besides the one who
Dean,
just edited Legacy of Danger? Yeah.
I don't want to besides him because he did a marvelous job on that.
Yes, he did.
And then there was In the Arms of the Enemy. Publisher for that was Linda Daly.
and she republished it after she got sick. She got very sick. She had COVID, and she was going to kind of just give up her publishing company because she couldn't do it anymore. But then she got over the COVID, and then she got back into publishing. So she called me and asked me if I wanted her to redo it. And I said, well, sure. Yeah, I said, but we really need to revise it because there's a lot of holes in it. So we did, and that's out now in the world. But then I decided I'd already talked to Fresh Ink and about legacy. So, well, I don't want to go on too much about this because this is, doesn't make sense, but Fresh Ink has taken on legacy and the Book of Short Stories.
Eerie Charms.
Which I actually, Eerie Charms, actually, I self-published that. And I would rather have Fresh Ink do that. And then there's going to be another one right after that. So, anyway, I think for my beta readers, I loved a lady by the name of Lynn Alexander, who wrote a magnificent series of books about Germany during the Second World War. She's just Canadian. She's from Canada. And then there's, I'm trying to think of her first name, Pam. I'm sorry. That kind of caught me off guard. I should have made notes of them. Those are dear people who spend
that's
a lot
all right.
of time
this,
working
this, why. This is a live program. This, you know, yes. We're going to throw stuff at
Brenda,
you that you might not be prepared for.
Okay. Brenda Kubich did, what did she do? She did Legacy? Yeah, she did Legacy, and she hated the main character, Elena DeCaney. So I took a lot of her, what she said, and went, no, does this work? No, I don't agree with her there, but maybe I could soften her a little bit. So, yeah, I think she did help. She did help quite a bit. And anyway.
Now, over on Twitter, Robert Williscroft points out you can scan your printed manuscript so that it will be available in a modern word processor. Did you have that first book that you lost printed? Did you have a printout of it at all? Or was it only in the file?
Hang on. Quiet! I think one of my cats is going to throw up. I hope not. Don't throw up. I believe I did print it up.
Well, if you have a printout, yeah, you can scan it. Optical recognition is not perfect. But.
No.
Okay.
The final version is much better. This first version was not good at all. In fact, it had so many plot holes that. Anyway.
Well, that's why they call it rewrites. You don't want to take the first draft and call that your final. You want to do a first draft, a second draft, even a third draft.
Legacy has had 5 redrafts. 5.
So
it started, the characters were all switched around.
So let's listen to the trailer for Legacy and then talk about it.
Thank you. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Elena DeCaney inherits her family's castle in Romania, a land dipped in myths, folklore, and the legendary Walking Dead. The local proverb serves as a warning. Do not speak badly of the devil, because you cannot know to whom you will belong. When she's attacked by an international assassin, only her deceased husband and her ex-boyfriend's live presence can protect her on her journey to the mountainous region of Transylvania. But that's not the only problem troubling Elena. Who is that boy invading her dreams? And what really happened to a priceless gem-crusted silver cross buried by an earthquake in the 15th century? Who's stalking Elena? Who wants her dead, and why? Legacy of Danger by Patricia A. Guthrie is a paranormal romantic thriller with a deep mystery and plenty of suspense. It'll haunt you in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats worldwide. Legacy of Danger by Patricia A. Guthrie is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
Now, when you go over to YouTube to check out that cool trailer, which is also in today's newsletter, make sure you like it. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. And keep in mind, Patricia said that there was an early version of that book. There's an early version of a book trailer on YouTube as well. So when you're liking and sharing, make sure it's the Fresh Ink Group channel, Legacy of Danger, the new book trailer with all the cool animation and the new cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I agree.
Now, Patricia, having edited this book, this was a really cool book. I like it. So I'm giving the listeners, if you're into paranormal, thrillers, there's some romance, mystery. If you're into all that stuff, this is your book. Where did the idea for this come from?
Oh, my gosh. It came back in the 1990s, about mid-1990s. A friend of mine named June Baker, I believe, was doing workshops, and she made a list of, 10 things that had to do with Halloween. And I took those 10 things, and I wrote a short story about a black rose, about a girl who inherits a black rose, which is a cursed black rose, because every time somebody get the black rose on her 21st birthday, she dies. That was the premise of the first premise. And then I started playing around with it and ended up with Legacy of Danger the way it is today. But it was so changed from, the characters were changed. I had characters back then, who actually ended up in another novel that I wrote, In the Arms of the Enemy, Erica. And Erica Coleman was a really nasty lady. But I had to drop her out of Legacy of Danger. It just didn't work, unfortunately. So I kept, and I changed ghosts, and I changed everything.
Do you have to pay the old ghost after you release him, or does the union like give you a break on that?
My old boss.
I don't know.
So that's the ghost that we see on the cover?
Yeah. No,
Clouds?
Yeah, that's the ghost that we see on the cover.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
But the ghost you see on the cover is not the same ghost that was in the very first couple of versions of this. Sorry.
So, is it a good ghost or a bad ghost?
Oh, he's a good ghost.
Ah, okay.
I shouldn't tell that because it tells a story, but he's a good ghost. Elena, actually, it's in the trailer. The ghost of her ex-husband, who was killed about 10 years before, when she thought her baby was killed also at the same time, and her husband was killed, and he became the ghost. Then her grandmother became a ghost.
Yeah, now...
I don't know why I'm giggling.
Now, when I was working on this, Romania, as I'm reading this,
yeah,
you can feel Romania. What drew you to Romania as a setting?
What? I'm sorry, say that again.
What drew you to Romania as one of the settings for this story? Because you paint this picture and you can actually feel the environment of Romania in your story.
Because of the Dracula legend, I think. That's what started it. The castle and the mood was very Romanian in terms of the folklore and the myths and the ghosts and everything. So
then you don't have, like, Romanian in your family, ancestry, or anything like that?
No, not at all.
Because that's kind of what I got. I got that you were writing off of something you knew, which if you...
Thank you.
You know,
that's very kind of you to say that. No, not at all. I just did an off... Well,
I watched an awful lot of horror movies. Like I love the Dracula scenes, and I think I've watched every single version that's ever happened on that. And then I've done speeches on it, and then I've read the book several times.
Quick question.
But I turned it. I didn't. There's no vampires in this book. It's not a vampire book. Unless you consider drug dealers vampires, of course.
It's a different type of parasite. Good question.
Definitely.
You say you watched all the vampire movies. Who's your favorite actor portraying Dracula?
Well, I adored Frank Langella. I just thought he was the worst thing that ever happened. But
for me, it's Bela Lugosi.
No.
Bela Lugosi and Count Dracula.
Bela Lugosi was wonderful. Sure, he was. He was wonderful.
This is a Halloween show.
Christopher Lee. I'll tell you what,
Lee
he was
good,
the bejesus out of me. The first Dracula I ever saw was Christopher Lee, and I was just a little thing. I kept a cross by my bed for weeks. Scared me so much. But no, this book has nothing to do with Dracula. I mean,
no, there's no vampires.
He's mentioned, no, but what is mentioned is the real Dracula. Dracul.
Vlad the Impaler.
And his story. Huh?
Vlad the Impaler.
That's it. Vlad the Impaler. The Impaler, sorry.
Vladdy.
Somebody you don't want to party with.
No, or have lunch with.
But anyway, that comes up quite often. Okay. So, anyway.
So is this book, what kind of age range? I mean, is this something teens would like, even preteens, or you got kind of a minimum age?
I think so. It gets a little sexual in at least one chapter, maybe two chapters a little bit. But
so
teen is,
young adult?
I think teens kind of, yeah. Yeah, I would say young adult might be interested in this. Anybody interested in Gothic? Romanian literature? Alex, the male lead in this, he's a professor of Romanian studies, of Eastern European studies, at a college in Evanston, Illinois. So, and he escorts Elena to Transylvania. But Elena she's already lived in Romania for a while, and so she already speaks the language and knows the culture.
I think there might be a sequel.
Oh.
Ooh.
Well, I
always room for that.
Thought about bringing them back to the United States. I'm not going to give you who's going to go with them. But because that'll give away the book, but it's a possibility. Right now I've got something working on a retirement community, but I just haven't had the drive to finish it. And then I got Matt's Murder I want to finish, and then, of course, Water Lilies, we're going to republish that. And I don't know. There's a lot of things in my coffers. As soon as I get to my new home, I'll be able to concentrate on that.
So we need to run another commercial here so we can pay a few bills, and then let's talk about your other book as well. In the meantime, we still got room. Anybody wants to call in, have a question or comment for Patricia A. Guthrie, the number is 516-453-9902. Pick up that phone and give us a call. How about Counterpunch?
North Korea will be the biggest challenge to your presidency, warned the outgoing commander-in-chief. But to imprisoned journalist John Jason, surviving each day in the prison camp proves the greatest challenge of his life. Protecting beautiful young prisoner Jisoo has also grown increasingly difficult for this slight man, otherwise powerless, but for his prowess at deceiving their captors. Navy SEAL Andrew Gunner Jackson is tasked by the president himself with gathering intel from the Hermit Kingdom. It's a dangerous gamble, where capture means summary execution, if he's lucky, or death the slow way in a North Korean prison re-education camp. Information is the least of his concerns. Though, as the president agrees, he can leverage this mission to satisfy a few goals of his own. How far will each man go to fend off the cruel machinations of a ruthless dictator? And will that be enough for either to survive? Operation Counterpunch is ready to read now. Proudly published in hardcover, paperback, and all ebook formats by Fresh Ink Group. By Mark Marlowe. Operation Counterpunch.
Yeah, get over there to Amazon and grab a copy of that one. And again, that is a video on the Fresh Ink Group YouTube channel. So get over there and like that and show some support.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah. So this Eerie Charms, what is the full title of that one?
Let's see. Eerie Charms of Horror, Fantasy, or Fantasy, Horror, and Mystery. The Eerie Charms of Fantasy, something, something. Fantasy, Horror, and Mystery. I believe that's the title.
And that's the one that Beam is editing right now. So how many stories is that? And, you know, what kind of stories are those?
I think there are about 20 of them. And some of them are longer than others. Some of them are very short.
Yeah. That's like the...
Half a page.
Yeah, well, some of them are like flash fiction, but they're interesting. I mean, they pull you in, and then boom, then it's over.
Yeah, I think the gold ball was like that. I kind of got that idea from Needful Things by Stephen King.
I've got that.
That was the idea, the kernel of an idea. And let's see, the other ones that I really liked in there, Satati was one of my first short stories, and I loved it. I loved the character, the snake. Satati means snake in Greek.
These short stories, did you write these specifically for this collection, or are these short stories that you've written over the years and, hey, let's put them together in a collection?
That's exactly right. I started one at a time, and I finally got to the point where I had one that I decided I was going to send self-publish on Amazon, which is on Amazon now, Will Accidents Happen, which is a mystery. And then there was a couple of others that Incident in Ring 4 started years and years ago, and then I couldn't. There's just something that I was missing and I couldn't grasp, and I decided I was going to write it, make it into a novel. Big mistake for me. Anyway, some people just do that very well, but I guess I couldn't do that very well. And so anyway, I decided to keep it as a short story and tighten it up, and that became a short story in the collection. That's about dog shows. It's about murder in the dog show ring.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's the one I'm working on right now.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Staten Civic Center, yes, Collie Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed that one. I wrote that when I was in my dog show days, when I was showing dogs.
Well, you definitely have a skill for the short stories.
Thank you. Really? Thank you. I just found five more short stories in my file cabinet that never saw the light of day, and I'm thinking about kind of seeing what I can do with it, with those. Maybe a second short story collection or something.
Ooh.
We'll see. We'll see.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we're on track to have that out probably right after the first of the year. Here at Charms.
Not by Christmas, huh? You can't do it by Christmas?
Not looking good for Christmas, because for Christmas we've got, 9 more books we're trying to get out by then, and it's 11 days, 10 days, 10 days we have left, I think. Or 9, something like that. So we're real close on a whole bunch of them. Well, yeah, because we have to go through all the process, and then people want to be able to order copies to have by Christmas. And the cutoff date's November 5th. If we don't have orders for author copies in before November 5th, they're not guaranteed to get them by Christmas. So we are crunching. And some of these authors have big events planned, or they're planning on taking boxes of books around and giving them away for Christmas.
Got a couple of boxes to do that with.
Yeah. So then after that, we're going to republish Water Lilies Over My Grave. And that sounds like a fun, happy romp. What's that story about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a buddy commie, road trip.
By a psychotic psychiatrist. Yeah, it's about this woman whose professor falls obsessively in love with her. Her family has died off, and he takes her under his wing, and then he marries her. And then she discovers that he starts going over the edge. She divorces him after some really horrendous things happen to her. And she moves to Wisconsin, as a matter of fact. The whole novel starts in New York City. And she ends up in Wisconsin, Upper Peninsula somewhere up there. And, he pursues her. And it's not like sleeping with the enemy. I've been asked about that before. I didn't even see sleeping with the enemy until after I finished writing this book. But anyway, he pursues her there, and then murders start happening, and he turns into a serial killer.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you turn around. Really? Oh, remember Fred? Serial killer.
I love serial killers. Ted Bundy is one of my favorite. I know, but...
So what else?
So anyway,
you mentioned earlier that you're working on something, and I just briefly kind of caught it, and you had considered a couple other things. What's on your to-do list?
Oh my gosh! Well, there's Matt's murder to finish. That has to do with horses, of course. Horses, drugs,
of course.
Hello.
Romance, murder, double murders. That was the first book I wrote. Also, that was the one where I lost the whole first novel, and it had to get rewritten. So, anyway, there's that, and then there is something I also wanted to do. And I haven't really worked it out in my mind yet, but it has to do with retirement, living in a retirement community. And that's not the reason I'm moving, by the way. I'm not moving to set myself in the same fact. Although I did get the idea when I was rehabbing at a nursing home when I broke my ankle.
So is this like a retirement community full of serial killers?
No.
Retired serial
independent.
Killer?
No, not that either. It's actually about people being bumped off by wrong things in their medications. Medications that are being switched for other medications. So I'm working on the research for that right now.
Medical thriller?
Well, no. Well, maybe. No. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, maybe that could be. Once I get back into it, I'll have a clearer idea. But we have four ladies who are part of a team, and each one has a pet. We have a black cat. We have a collie. We have a bird. A minor bird who speaks. We have, I think there's something else in there somewhere. And the animals help solve the mysteries. How I'm going to do that, I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah. There was a mystery writer. She had Sneaky Pie the cat. He used to help her solve mysteries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Sneaky Pies. Rita Mae Brown?
Rita Mae Brown. Yeah.
Yeah, that's her.
I read a lot of her books.
Just loved her books. And I just thought that's such a good idea. And the Cat Who books, I just love those. So I'm going to use some, not their stuff, but I'm going to kind of use the idea of the pets and the characters, the main characters getting together and trying to find out who's killing these people, these patients off. So that's,
maybe it's the way, if you write it right, it could be the ghost of Ted Bundy.
Oh shit.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe his estate would want to sell the use of his name rights. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm sure they would.
We do have a comment on Twitter from Verwayne. Verwayne says he endorses Operation Counterpunch by Mark Marlow, says he has a copy, and it's a great book. Thanks, Verwayne.
Yeah.
Thanks, Verwayne.
Yeah. So, Patricia, do you have any advice for authors out there, people who are seasoned authors who are looking for some new ideas for what they could be doing, or newbies who are thinking about getting into it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What everybody says is persistence. Don't give up. Yeah, absolutely. But the other things are read a lot, just incessant reading, read different stories by different authors. Stay abreast of current events. You never know when you're going to pick a germ, a little tiny seed from something, and build it up into a book. I just remember Legacy, the 20 different things that have to do with vampires or whatever it was I did. That's the main thing, though. Don't give up and keep reading books on writing. I have quite a few, and every single one has been a gem for something that's helped me along. Talk to other writers. Make friends with writers.
They probably don't have any other friends, so yeah, they'll be eager.
Well, that's like me. I don't have friends either.
Yeah, you know, you said when you were talking about that, you said keep up to date on current events and just keep your ears open. That's a good piece of advice because I've actually come up with short story ideas just by listening to a line or two from somebody while I'm waiting in line at the grocery store or at the bank.
Yes.
And I hear something
Absolutely.
And it's like, oh, there's an idea. And I've got a little thing on my phone where I can leave notes to myself and I'll do that. And then from there you just build a story around two lines.
Yeah. And I was just going to say that one really good thing is to sit in restaurants and listen to other people's conversations.
There you go.
And what you pointed out, a line or two can make a whole novel.
Well, I haven't written a novel from a line or two, but I've written a lot of short stories that way. Not a lot, but several of them.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Absolutely.
So, Patricia, where can people find you on social media?
Okay, my website is http://www.aguthrie.wordpress.com.
paguthrie.wordpress.com. That's all we need. We don't need the HTTP.
Okay.
You sound like my mom.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I got to tell her, we don't need the www. We don't need the HTTP.
Well, yeah, you just need Amazon.com, really. Sorry.
Or AMA.
Huh? Okay. Yeah, there's that. PatGuth@AOL.com.
patguth@gmail.com, www.facebook.com, www.twitter.com/PAGuthrie1.
PA Guthrie 1. And then on Facebook, are you as Patricia A. Guthrie?
I don't think so. I can't remember what the handle is on that. Probably has maybe my birth date on there or something. I don't know.
Okay. And, of course, if all else fails, use the Fresh Ink Group website, contact form, send us a note, and we'll make sure Pat Guthrie gets your note. And we'll even hound her to make sure she responds.
Oh,
now, before
great.
We...
Thank you very much.
Since we've got time, I'm kind of curious. Who are some of your favorite writers that you've read as you've been growing up that kind of formed who you are as a writer?
Well, I grew up on Black Beauty and the Black Stallion. Yes, my mother used to read to me every night. So we got through. And my father used to read me Uncle Wiggily Travels, which is always a lot of fun. My favorite books, I think, of all time, though, are Lord of the Rings, Pride and Prejudice, David Copperfield. And I loved Anderson's fairy tales growing up, and Grimm's fairy tales, even. And I love Stephen King's The Stand and It. Yikes. And
good
Dean
stuff.
Koontz, The Watchers. Huh? Yeah. And then Dean Koontz, The Watchers, that's about the golden retriever named Einstein. And as far as writing books, I think, as I said, almost everything I've ever read, I love Lizzie Chantry's book on networking for writers. But there's another one out there called Goal, Motivation, and Conflict by Pamela, I think, is her first name, McCutcheon. And that has helped me so much organizing my novel. Like, what is the character? What's her goal? What's her conflict? What's her motivation? Why does she want this goal? What's the conflict? Why can't she get it? And then the final, end. So, and I guess my favorite TV shows include Miss Marple, Hercule Poirot, Midsummer Murders, While You Were Sleeping, which is a favorite, which is funny, Sleepless in Seattle, which is delightful, and I love Harry Potter. I like Harry Potter, too. I watched that several times, but it's not as grasping for me as Lord of the Rings. That's got so many religious overtones in it and so many overtones about World War II and the Nazi Party and everything. Oh, my God. It's just full of stuff.
I've never read the Lord of the Rings. I never did. I remember when I was a kid back in the late 70s in school, all my classmates were, oh, man, you got to read this. And I was reading S.C. Hinton, The Outsiders and Rumblefish, you know, with the kids that were in the gangs. And I wasn't in the gang, but, you know, that was just what interested me. I thought it was kind of cool. And I wasn't into hobbits.
Yeah.
But a lot of the kids were.
Yeah, well,
and they still are.
The hobbits themselves, but the whole point of the story, the whole enchilada, is fascinating to me. Middle Earth, that sort of thing.
Now, you mentioned these books about writing and all that. I want to remind our listeners, Stephen Gies has a really great series of Gies writer books. On Amazon, it's on Point of View, it's on Narrative, it's on Dialogue. If you're having any kind of trouble with, or you just want to get better, check them out. They're over on Amazon, and I've read a few of them. And
I'm going to have to look those up. I kind of knew there was something out there, but I hadn't had a chance to look at it since the move.
Plug, plug.
So I would like to read some of his stuff. Huh?
I said, plug, plug. We got to plug those. Hey, there's an idea, Stephen. One night we can, if we don't have a guest, we can talk about writing and those books and, you know, narrative and point of view and all that good stuff.
Or actually do like a session, you know, how to do point of view or how to do dialogue, things like that as well. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll talk about doing something like that. But we're just about out of time here, and it's been a lot of fun talking to you, Patricia.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun being talked to. It's been a very enjoyable evening.
Well, hopefully you get your move wrapped up here before too long, and you can get settled in to your new digs and be able to have a little relaxation time and get back to writing.
You bet. You have no idea. Okay. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, and I've just enjoyed myself so much.
Terrific. Okay, listeners, we got a flurry of books coming out in the coming weeks. Into the Water, From Chaos with Love, a poetry book, probably too many of them to name, and Robert G. Williscroft promises us that we're going to get the manuscript for the second Ort Chronicle book any day now. So we're going to start crunching on that real fast, try to get that out too.
Wait a minute, what was that book? Well, excuse me, what was that book again? From Chaos with Love?
From Chaos with Love. It's a,
it's a terrific title.
Oh, yeah. It's a book with 220 poems in it, and it's written by a man who is in prison. So he has some very interesting perspective.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
And listeners, get over to the YouTube channel. Just go over to YouTube, type in Fresh Ink Group. And if you're not subscribed, subscribe. We're constantly putting new videos up. These episodes of these shows are over there, but we also got book trailers and just interesting things that we end up posting up there. So get over there, hit the likes, leave comments, and subscribe. Help us to build this. We're really trying to build something here, not just for us, but I mean for the guests that we have on here. So when we have a guest on here, it could be you. You got a new book coming out. We've got a bigger reach. So, you know, help us build this, and we're going to help you promote. If you're a musician, a writer, whatever, we're going to help you promote. So get over there and like and subscribe.
Now, at the YouTube channel, I was over there earlier today and saw how many subscribers we had. When I went back a few hours later, it had gone up by one, so I had to do my little happy dance.
Woohoo!
We'll take them one at a time.
We'll take them one at a time.
Next week's episode is going to be featuring a very interesting person, Gilbert Poole. We mentioned him in a show a couple of weeks back. He's a man who spent more than three decades in prison, wrongfully convicted of a murder based on bad and falsified evidence, bite mark evidence. And when the attorney general in the state of Michigan started a conviction integrity unit, they took a look at his case. One thing led to another, and he is now a free man. He's an artist. He's a Renaissance man. He's a writer. I got to know him because he took a class that I taught as a volunteer in prison writing classes one time. So he's a writer. He's an artist. He's an interesting person, and he's got quite a story to tell, and he's going to be our guest next week. That's Gilbert Poole. And then
And then the following week, we've got author Joan Hall, who will be coming in, and she's got a lot of books out, and she's a skilled writer. So if you've got writing questions, now is your time to call in. Joan Hall in 2 weeks.
So thanks to everybody for participating on Twitter. Thanks to Suzanne for calling in today. And, of course, thanks again, Patricia, for being our guest. We had a lot of fun.
Thanks, Patricia.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. Just enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
All right,
we will do this again.
Bye-bye. Good evening.
See you all next week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You've been a part of Voice of Indie, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.